This episode is brought to you by Odmo's Pizza in Cambie. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, wine, and cider. Delivered. Call them today at 503-263-8444.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Cambie,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Now Hear This, Cambie podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Martina Baker, and this is what's happening this week in our community. A former Clackamas County employee pleaded guilty on Wednesday, December 8th, to spray painting a Nazi swastika on the sidewalk next to a memorial for a black man who died soon after attempting suicide while incarcerated at the Clackamas County Jail. Colin Michael Williams, 21, pleaded guilty to a second-degree bias crime, second-degree criminal mischief, abuse of a memorial, and third-degree criminal mischief. Circus Judge Todd L. Van Rieselberger scheduled Williams' sentencing for January 10, 2022. Williams, who is white, was arrested in August for reportedly knocking over candles and breaking framed photos at an outdoor memorial for Jermel Madison, who died after attempting suicide in a Clackamas County jail cell on June 28th. Madison later died from his self-inflicted injuries in a hospital on July 3rd. According to Oregon City Police, Williams recorded himself in August defacing the memorial on social media, posting, "I also spray painted a fun German windmill on the sidewalk for good measure. DM for the pic." The Clackamas County District Attorney's Office on Thursday, December 9th, declined Pamplin Media Group's request for release of the signed plea agreement, citing an Oregon law exempting disclosure of public records related to open investigations. Under Oregon law, the four charges to which Williams pleaded guilty add up to a maximum possible sentence of 3 years and 30 days and $20,000 in fines. Oregon City Police Chief Jim Band said detectives immediately began investigating the incident as a bias crime when the vandalized memorial was brought to the attention of police. Over the next day and a half, attempts were made to identify a suspect, Band said. Detectives reached out to local retailers to locate anyone who might have purchased spray paint around the time the vandalism occurred. Local retailers were quick and eager to assist, and an unnamed suspect and his vehicle were quickly identified on the morning of August 12th. The memorial had been set up at the corner of Beaver Creek Road and Library Court, adjacent to the Clackamas County Development Services Building on August 6th, as part of a vigil for Madison. Detectives worked with the Clackamas County Administration to review video surveillance, which showed Williams's vehicle in the area at the time the crime occurred. Oregon City Police Department detectives also obtained a subpoena for banking information related to Williams's purchase of the spray paint. "We do not tolerate hate in this county," said Clackamas County Administrator Gary Schmidt following the incident. "We do not tolerate hate crimes towards anyone." Cougar Country hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Reif & Hunsaker PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Cambie has trusted for over 50 years. Call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR. For the rest of today's broadcast, We'll be recapping what has been a historically strong start for Cougar athletics in the winter season, kicking off with the Canby boys basketball team, which has won its first three games, the program's best start in over 15 years. The latest was Friday's 66-41 walloping of McNary for their third straight win to open the year. The Cougars are on a five-game win streak dating back to their pandemic-shortened 2021 campaign, are averaging 75 points per game, and have looked more confident with each win. Our offense has the impressive ability to score so quickly. We are really good in the open court, said Cougar head coach Craig Evans. It's been a lot more up and down than in past years. That impressive Canby offense was on display in the first quarter. After McNary hit a triple to begin the game, Canby scored 16 unanswered points, including 12 from behind the arc. The Celtics were held scoreless for nearly 7 minutes, while the Cougar offense feasted in a variety of ways. When Alex Evans launched a pass to the high-flying Peyton Myers for a dunk, Myers' third of the season, Canby had already jumped out to a 21-7 lead. Hondo Gonzalez tried to keep McNary within firing distance in the second quarter, leading a mini 4-0 run to cut the Canby lead to 12. The large Celtic student section finally burst into cheers and prompted an Evans timeout. Out of the break, Jacob Strand made his presence known with 6 straight points to help give the Cougs a 17-point lead at the half. Evans was impressed by his team's suffocating defense that helped McNary to only 15 points in the opening half. What's really worked for us defensively is length, Evans said. We've been able to gamble more because we know there's always someone there to back us up. It just allows us to take defensive risks. The third quarter opened the same way as the second, with a McNary run to cut the lead to 12 and get the crowd back into it. This time, Myers hushed the crowd and the 8-1 Celtic run with 2 threes of his own. Canby marched out to a 51-29 lead at the end of the period. Evans stuffed the stat sheet for the Cougars, finishing with 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. Myers and Strand had 15 and 14 points apiece, while Kellen Oakes contributed 11 points and 2 threes on the night. For the Celtics, Gonzalez and Evan Cornell led the team with 11 points each. Canby will put their record to the test on Tuesday with a home game against fellow undefeated South Salem. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. In girls basketball, the Cougs earned the first win of the season with an impressive victory over the visiting North Salem Vikings. New Cougar head coach Ingrid McCoy, who missed the girls' season opening loss to Nelson due to her own wedding, earned the win in her Canby coaching debut. McCoy's squad, who had shot a frigid 24% from the field in their previous game, saw their shots fall from the opening jump Friday. Senior guard Allie Mead commanded the defense early on, forcing turnovers that led to quick Canby points. Sophomore center Leah Smith converted on a tray in the back half of the first quarter, and the Cougars led 13-9 at the end of the opening period. North Salem hit a three within 7 minutes left in the third quarter to give the Vikings their only lead of the game at 22-21. From there, the third was all Canby. The Cougars used a massive 14-2 run to vault themselves ahead to a 43-29 lead at the end of the quarter. Mead once again clogged the Vikings' passing lanes, and Canby scored 22 points in the period. I thought we really settled down in the second half and showed a lot more patience and poise, which allowed us to get easy buckets, McCoy said afterwards. We were able to get good shots all night. Three different players, Rayanne Shedler, Allie Mead, and Kaylee Borntrager, scored 8 points apiece in a balanced offensive game for the Cougars. Leah Smith set a new career high with her 7 points, all of which came in the first half. McCoy saw the win as a big step forward for a team that won only 5 games in 2020, but not a step without flaws. We have a lot of room for improvement and need to take better care of the ball, said McCoy. We want to continue to play pressure defense and create fast break opportunities. There's a lot of good things to build on. The Canby Cougar swim team made a splash in its season opener against visiting Tigard Thursday, winning both the girls and girls meets and sweeping nearly every race. The final scores were almost identical, with the Canby girls winning 115-54 and the boys putting up 114 to Tigard's 53. The ladies kicked things off by winning the 200-yard medley relay in a time of 156.35. Callie Mull also took first in the 200 freestyle and 500 freestyle, while Allison and Amanda Yancey finished first and second, respectively, in the 200 individual medley and 100 breaststroke. Kennedy Hester was first in the 50 and 100 freestyle, and Avery Kenonen won the 100 butterfly and 100 backstroke. The swimmers then triumphed in the 200 and 400 yard freestyle relays to complete the perfect debut for the Camby girls swim team. Not to be outdone, the quartet of Jack Hayhurst, Kai Leightonen, Brandon Slater, and Jameson Chard began their season by winning the 200-yard medley relay with a time of 1:52.38. Isaac Beck won both the 200 freestyle and 500 freestyle, and Hayhurst was first in the 200 individual medley and 100 backstroke. Connor DiRizzio swam to first in the 50 freestyle and 100 butterfly, while Hunter DiRizzio was first in the 100 free. The 200 free relay of Hunter DiRizzio, Isaac Beck, Brandon Slater, and Connor DiRizzio also swam to first place. In the final race of the meet, the 400-yard freestyle relay, Hunter DiRizzio, Connor DiRizzio, Isaac Beck, and Hayhurst came away with first place. The Camby Cougar swim team will have a week to rest from their smashing performance before hosting Lake Oswego on Thursday, December 16th. The action kicks off at 4 p.m. Finally, the Camby Cougar wrestling team made a statement in their season opener Wednesday, claiming convincing victories over host Woodburn and visiting Hood River Valley in the three-way duel. The Cougs opened with six straight victories over the host Bulldogs as freshmen Matthew Young and Brady Freud won by fall and technical fall, respectively, in their varsity debuts. Craig Williams, Ty Ewers, Landon Sprague, and Thomas Marquez also won by fall, all in the first period. Woodburn's Benito Roman got his team on the board with the technical fall over Zach Netter in the 145 weight class before the Cougs' Pete Sansone, Ethan Ensrud, and Jackson Doman claimed victories by fall to continue the route. Cash Montgomery earned the quickest fall of the night for Camby, pinning Woodburn's Jesus Garcia in 21 seconds flat. The Bulldogs found more success in their higher weight classes as Santiago Roque defeated Canby's Matthew Hagen by decision at 220, and Ricardo Asensio beat Colin Kennedy by fall in the second period in the clash of heavyweights. Canby won the meet 59-20. The duel against Hood River Valley went more quickly as the visiting Eagles lost several matches due to forfeit. The 132-pound and 138-pound matches both went the distance, resulting in a split decision for Canby, with Sprague winning his match over Jaime Rodriguez Estrada 6-2 and Barquez falling to Carson Farlow in a hard-fought contest 10-8. Netter, Sansone, Montgomery, and Kennedy won their remaining matches by fall, including an impressive pin by Kennedy in 34 seconds over heavyweight Malcolm Lau Lualo. Canby won the meet 51-9.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
Oh, at the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short scary stories for
short
Christmas.
Short, scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. It depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for?
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently, and some really cute kids' cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids or starting to train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting till Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work out.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year, so get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now.
All right.
I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours? Because we also have Amy in the studio with us. What's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I'm an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldon. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
All right, we're here at the Canby Fred Meyer with Canby Police Sergeant Nate Walbaum. Hi, Sergeant Walbaum, how are you?
Good morning.
We're here for one of our favorite events, which is Shop with a Cop. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, so this is possible. What we do is we partner with the Canby School District, and they identify approximately 12 to 14 students through the school district. And through anonymous donors, the Clackamas County Peace Officers Benevolent Fund, anonymous donors, and in conjunction with our police officers, we pair two students per officer, and they go out and they have about $180 to shop for. They can shop for themselves, or they can shop for their family, or both.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a really exciting time.
Yeah, and you see, like, the officers will have their little notepads, you know, they're doing all the math and trying to squeeze every last dime. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I think every year you'll see someone who's a little bit over and just someone in front of them or behind them will jump up and, you know, pay the difference.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a really cool community thing. What does it mean like and feel like to the officers to be part of this?
You know, very important because, you know, with, especially with the times, like this gives us a really like one-on-one personal connection, like because we're moms and dads too.
Yeah.
And we, a lot of us have children, and so we get to joke with the kids and kind of find out what they like. And but it's a really great connection. I think something that most of the kids in Canby know about, and unfortunately we can't service everybody, so right. It's kind of like they won the lottery, you know.
Yeah. How do the kids get picked?
We partner with the school district, like with the school counselors, and I'm not really sure how they identify them through that piece, but
yeah.
we know how much that we have and the time and the date, and we just put the message out to each school. So it's each of the schools within Canby, so
yeah.
Like 91, Karis, Eccles, Knight,
yeah.
So on and so forth.
Yeah, and it looked like a lot of the kids were kind of in the 8 to 12 range, age range?
8 to 12.
Yeah.
So we even have Baker Prairie. So
okay, cool.
But yeah, we do. It is 8 to 12, like 5th, 6th, probably 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah. In picking the kids, I think obviously there's a financial component, a financial need of the family, where maybe they're, you know, having a difficult time for the holidays. But also, right, there's like maybe kids that might need a positive experience with law enforcement, right? Maybe they've had past experience that, you know, family issues or whatnot that were maybe not so positive, or maybe, you know, more negative.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be socioeconomic. We've had kids in the past that have had maybe a loss in the family, so it really lifts their spirits.
Yeah.
And then sometimes maybe connections with people whose parents have been incarcerated or something. So it provides like a really good touch base for us.
Yeah.
And helps. I think it helps like break down the walls and build the trust.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to just ask you, you know, because I was out there taking pictures and whatnot and kind of saw, but can you tell folks just what it's like, what kind of the conversations are like, and, you know, it's funny seeing the officers, like, you know, maybe their kids are a little older or whatnot, or they don't have kids, and they don't know what their toys are this year, so the kids are, like, explaining, you know, why it's so cool, like...
Yep, so you're having dad conversations, like Captain Gonzalez, he's a grandpa, and... sometimes doesn't know like what's hip and not, and so he's being schooled right now on what is and what isn't.
Right.
We have some teenage students that a lot of the kids, they don't know how much they're getting until they get here, and so they're kind of shell shocked because it can range anywhere from like 150 to 180 bucks.
Yeah.
Per student, which is a lot.
A lot of money.
A lot, and so some of them are shell shocked and they don't know like where to even start.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. You think about that—a 10-year-old being handed. $180,
right.
In a store where everything that they could ever want, that's
so you were
funny.
Saying some of those conversations I'm asking, I asked a couple of them and they didn't even know what to say. I think they're like literally either super excited, and they know exactly what they want, or they're shocked.
I know you were, right before we jumped in the interview, you were talking to some people wondering how they can help. Can you share ways that if people are watching this or listening to this, how they can help?
Yes, so a few of the citizens here are asking where the money comes from.
Yeah.
And so we do take anonymous donations, and then also through the Clackamas County Peace Officers Benevolent Fund donates a significant amount. But citizens in the future, if you would like to donate to this, you can do it through the Canby Police Department, or if you needed a tax-exempt write-off, you can go through the Clackamas County Peace Officers Benevolent Fund. We usually have enough for 14 students in other areas or counties. Sometimes they're working with 65 kids, 80 kids. So Canby, we're specific to Canby, but if it's anyone ever wants to donate, we would be happy to serve that many more kids that we can service.
Yeah. You were the organizer of the event this year?
Yes, sir.
Was it your first time organizing it?
First time organizing it.
Yeah. And last? No, I'm kidding.
No, it's fun. You know, I grew up in this town and I have deep connections, and so I love like these kind of community events that like really bring us, you know, connection. We have a job to do, but it's part of that job is like connecting with our citizens.
Yeah, yeah. Do you officers kind of fight for who gets to do it and who has to be on duty still, or?
Yeah, some of them, and some of them have come off on their own, like their own days.
On time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Awesome. Okay. Well, did we hit everything? Was there anything else that you wanted to share?
I just want to say a special thank you to Candy Fred Myers.
Yeah.
Well, Starbucks, who provided treats for afterwards. Mm. And just all the people that donated, it's incredible. So
yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Sergeant Walbaum, for taking time out and for putting this on.
Yes.
So, Courtney, tell us just a little bit about this event tonight.
Yeah, this is year two of us doing a little Christmas lights display here at Hope Village. We've had a rough couple years. So last year we started this because we wanted the residents to have a little joy at home because they weren't able to do too much.
A walk-through light display.
A walk-through, yeah. They get to see it from their rooms. It's here on campus. It's cheerful. It's bright. And we just wanted to bring some fun to them after all we've been through and they've been through.
Right, right. Added a couple of things this year.
Added a few things. We brought Santa all the way from the North Pole this time.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Claus came with it. We had hot chocolate. A little more lights, a little more bright and cheerful.
Caroling.
We had some caroling.
Mixed bag on that, but they tried.
They did, and they did a great
We should show. Say volunteer carolers.
Volunteer carolers, and they did great.
Absolutely,
exactly
they did.
Exactly what we paid them for.
Yes, got your money's worth, 100%. What did you think of the residence with Santa? That was really incredible.
Every year, it just makes me so happy to see how happy the residents are 100 years old seeing Santa again.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if they're, you know, I think we've got residents ranging from 70 to 101, and all of them just light up when they see Santa. And it's just so good to see.
They did. They lit up. Yeah. Just 50 years came off their faces, and they were just like kids again. Yeah.
Exactly. And Santa's so good. He tells them that he remembers when they were little, and they just get a kick out of it, and we just love it.
Yeah.
It just makes us so happy to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, some of them were joking around with them. Some of them seemed to really be like, they think he's real Santa. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah.
We do tell him he comes from the North Pole, and that's why it's a little cooler tonight.
Right.
Because he had to bring
He's
the cool
get used
there
to
with
it.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't want him to
but
melt.
But he kept the rain away, so we appreciate that.
That was nice. That was very nice. So you had hot cocoa, had some staff out, got a chance to see Santa as well. And
absolutely, yeah.
How many residents do you think went through?
Well, I'd say we probably had maybe like 30, 35.
Yeah.
We had a few come before dinner when it wasn't quite dark yet, but they still got to see Santa and see the lights a little bit dark. But yeah, a good amount for how cool it is and, you know, a little late for some of them.
Right, right. To be able to do events, festive things around the holidays, that's got to be important, right, for care of residents, to feel that sense of normalcy, that sense of joy that you need every year during the darkest part of the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a different year this year. They get to see their families this year, and we get to have things like this here, and we get to interact with each other, and even if we still can't see everyone's smiling faces, you just feel it. You can see it in their eyes. I always tell them to smile with their eyes.
Love it. Is it a pain to do this light display? Are you up on ladders, Courtney, or how?
I do not get on ladders. I leave that to the experts.
Nice.
But yeah, it takes us, you know, a good solid week or two. Last year, we did it a little different, and it was our first year, and it took us the entire month, and it was
a little bit
crazy.
You guys were working on that.
Scaled it down, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's lots of lights, and it's cheerful, and it's worth it.
Yeah. What do the residents think when they see the lights for the first time?
They all just light up. They just love it.
Yeah.
They don't need, like, the crazier, the better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even the residents on the campus have called and said they appreciate seeing the lights outside.
Yeah, so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Anything else to add, Courtney?
I don't think so.
Okay, anything else going on for the residents over the holidays, or?
They are going to get a holiday luncheon.
Okay.
And they're gonna have prime rib.
What? Yeah, where's my invitation? Is it in the mail?
Fingerling potatoes. Mm. I don't know. Our cook, he goes all out.
Yeah.
So that's coming up the week of Christmas, and it's usually a really special event. So.
Wow. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Courtney.
Thank you.
All right. We've got Santa here at Marquis Hope Village. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's been happening tonight?
Oh, I've had the privilege of just being able to sit with some wonderful people, the residents here. Every year I get to come here and spend some time with them, and I look forward to it so much. It's such an enjoyable evening.
How do you approach this type of event? You normally are talking to children and doing events like that, and these are obviously a lot older, but I feel
they're
like you're...
They're children.
Your rapport is really similar.
They're children. It is a very similar rapport.
Yeah.
I mean, from the very first time they sat on my lap to now, I mean, it's the magic of Christmas.
Yeah, yeah. Seems like you really made a connection with a lot of folks.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's what people need at Christmas time.
Yeah.
That's why I do this.
Yeah.
Just, yeah. If I can add something, make somebody smile, give somebody hope, it's well worth it. Make somebody smile.
Yeah, yeah.
Or ask somebody a question and have a tear come to their eye, because you know you reached them.
Yeah.
This is one of my favorite places to come here, Virginia.
Yeah.
And it's a reward for me.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year.
Oh, yeah.
That helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about DirectLink services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee Companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's CURRENT, to 888-906-3432.
Welcome to the Cambie Hall Pass promo series, spotlighting outstanding restaurants and stores in our community. The Hall Pass offers up to $100 in savings and benefits the Cambie Educational Foundation. Get yours at the Chamber Office or the Book Nook in downtown Cambie, a program of the Clackamas County Business Recovery Center made possible by the Cambie Area Chamber of Commerce in Clackamas County.
Okay, joining us on the Cambie Hall Pass promo series today is Alicia Orefici. She's the store manager for the Cambie Kiwanis Thrift Store. Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
And we also have Brandon Chase. He's the chair of the Cambie Kiwanis Thrift Store Committee. Hi, Brandon.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Been busy this holiday season so far?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I bet. Well, Alicia, why don't we start with you? Can you just begin by telling us a little bit about the thrift store and what kinds of things you offer to the community, what people can find there?
Oh, you can find almost anything in the thrift store. It changes from day to day, and we have daily sales. So every day, something in the store is half off, whether it be clothing, dishware, shoes, pictures and frames. And then every Thursday, the entire store is half off. And the last Saturday of the month, we also have everything half off.
I'm early on those days if you're looking to go shopping, right? The lines stretch around the block.
We do have a line, yes.
Yeah. You guys obviously do kind of do themes with the season and whatnot. So right now there's some holiday decor people might find, maybe that much sought after ugly Christmas sweater for their party they're looking for.
I'm currently out of ugly Christmas sweaters.
Okay, fair enough. Got to come early for those two. Awesome. Well, our next question, and sometimes we do have to flex these a little bit for different businesses or whatnot, but our next question is, so like, how and why did you get into this business? I'd love to hear, Alicia, maybe a little bit about your background and how you kind of got into this line of work, but also can we, and maybe Brandon, hear from you a little bit as well, but talk a little bit about the history of the thrift store and why this was kind of put into motion for our community, what the need was and how it's helped Kiwanis over the years.
Can I go first?
Sure. I'll kind of start. I don't know the exact years that things happened. I do know that where the 7-Eleven is now, it was the original location of the thrift store. And I believe it was just a house back then in the day. And that was at least 50, 60 years ago or more. The store was started as a fundraiser, of course, to do the different things that the Cambie Kiwanis does, primarily with helping with kid-oriented programs here in Cambie. So we try to keep most of the funds or stay here locally. At some point, obviously, they moved to where the current location is. And at the time, it was all done by volunteer. There was no paid staff. It was club members volunteering their time. And I think they were open just 2 days a week. And as we grew, eventually brought on a paid manager. And then I took over. My first stint as chairman of the committee was back in the late 90s or early 2000s, somewhere right in there. And that we were working 2.5 days a week. And at that point, we expanded to where we're currently 6 days a week. We went to accepting credit cards and almost an entirely paid staff, although we still do have volunteers that help, but we rely mostly on a paid staff as opposed to a volunteer staff. And so it's just puts a lot of money though back into the community. It's really become a big time business for us, something more than we ever imagined years ago, but we're able to do quite a few scholarships, the food and toy drive, livestock auction at the county fair, and just so many other things that we're able to participate in, all because of the money raised at the thrift store.
Totally. Awesome. All right, Alicia, you're up. What's your origin story as the legendary Canby Kiwanis store manager?
Well, I moved to Canby 4 years ago for my husband's work. And so I was looking for something closer. I've been working in nonprofit for past 30 years. And when I saw this job, it reminded me of a job I had when I first came to Portland, where I worked for the William Temple House thrift store, which is a organization in Portland that provides mental health counseling. So it was kind of fun to go back to my roots in nonprofit work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, you guys have mentioned, but I don't think it can be overstated how busy the store is, what a vibrant place it is for our community. It's just incredible. What do you guys attribute that success that you've seen over the years and just what it is today?
I think it's just, you know, it's people in Canby want to support Canby. And so the Kiwanis, where all of our profit, you know, for the most part, stays right here in locally in Canby. I think people just see a value there that they're able to kind of kill two birds with one stone. You can go shopping for good, you know, thrift store items and, you know, find some treasures there while having fun and getting things you need. But at the same time, knowing that that money you spend there is going to turn right back around and support Canby.
So. Yeah, absolutely. I notice in Canby people a lot of time that there is kind of a certain thriftiness, right? A certain virtue in that of, you know, of giving new life to new things or finding things that, you know, rather than buying something new, something that can be remade or reused, and especially kind of that historical element. I feel like people probably come, you know, looking for, you know, old high school pins or things like that. Is that something you see, Alicia?
Oh, yes. There's definitely a lot of nostalgia in the thrift store. So you can take a lot of trips down memory lane, from old pictures to grandma's cookbooks that you might see, dishes that family members may have had over the years that remind you of those days.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so cool. So obviously the COVID-19 pandemic has been difficult for a lot of businesses, a lot of stores, especially. I know Canby Kiwanis, you guys had to walk through that difficult time. What do you think has been key to helping the thrift store survive that time? And what do you think has helped you guys kind of recover and get back to up on your feet and kind of back up to full strength over there?
It's been a challenge. So definitely, we have a great team of people working at the store that are just very flexible and just kind of roll with it. So that's definitely been key, that we're a great team. And then just the community as a whole, just being understanding and accommodating to the different changes and fluctuations we've had to go through.
I think I remember a time when you guys first reopened and were taking donations again, that was extremely busy because everyone had been at home doing cleaning up, right, and going through old closets or things that had been on the to-do list for a long time. Is that true? I seem to remember that.
Yes, that was true. We were seeing people come with just not just one or two bags, but like their whole trunk and backseat filled. So, yeah.
Right. And you weren't able to fully operate, right, the store. So it was kind of hard to get inventory out as well at that same time. So, interesting time. Okay. Last questions for you guys. And I want to hear from both of you. This one's kind of a fun one. And I get to put you guys on the spot a little bit. Can you tell us something that people might not know about you? Could be a special skill that you have, could be maybe a hobby, something you like to do in your spare time, an accomplishment or achievement, something that you're proud of, maybe an unusual job that you had in the past. Let's hear from Brandon first, put him on the spot.
An unusual job. Let's start there. When I first started working, and I was probably not even legally old enough to have a job, but I worked at an egg place, not Willamette, but another one similar to that in Woodburn. Uh-huh. And I had the job of, when the eggs would get broken in the stores, like there's a cracked egg in the carton, they send them back to us. And my job was to go through and salvage as many good eggs as I could. And I got paid 2 cents for every dozen I could salvage. So
what does that mean? Salvage?
I was pretty young. So yeah.
Yeah. What does that mean? Salvage? You would do like a scramble or make egg product?
I'd pick through all the eggs in the carton, and the ones that weren't cracked, I would save those, and then
gotcha.
They'd run them back through the machine and wash them and sell them again. So yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So toss out the broken ones, but find the ones that weren't cracked. Okay.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of a job. So yeah.
Yeah. And that just jump started your career as a financial advisor somehow, right?
Somehow. Yeah.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch has been his motto ever since. So. What about you, Alicia? Anything you can share?
I'm the best karaoke singer in my kitchen.
Oh, okay. I believe it. I think I heard that. I think I read that in the New York Times. So
yeah.
Congrats on that. You guys, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us today. We really appreciate it. Thank you for all that you do for our community, and best wishes to you for the rest of your Christmas season.
Thanks, Tyler. You guys have a Merry Christmas as well.
All right. Also joining us for the Canby Hall Pass promo series today, we have Whitney Altman of Moondoggies Overstock and Liquidation. Hi, Whitney.
Hi.
How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So you are the daughter of the store owners and founders who've been involved with the store for the whole time it's been in business. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Can you tell me your parents' names?
Brian and Annette Kirk.
Okay, so Brian and Annette Kirk. Why don't you start by telling us, Whitney, just a little bit about, for folks who don't know or haven't been in for a while, what is Moondoggies, right? What type of things do you offer to the community?
We are a overstock and liquidation company. So basically you're getting products that maybe didn't sell in the store right away, or were possibly like the boxes were damaged in transit or something. We buy that directly from the store, and then we are able to resell that at a lower cost.
Yeah. And all kinds of, I mean, it's almost baffling, mind boggling. Yeah. What you can find there, everything from clothes to furniture to sporting goods, decor. Yeah. Food. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Lots of socks. I remember last time I was there.
Yeah,
it was a good month for socks. Yeah,
yes, and makeup, and it's amazing. It's the widest array of things.
Yeah, lighting, beautification stuff. How did you, your parents and your family, how did you guys get into this kind of business? It's kind of an interesting story.
Yeah, so it was kind of a textbook, like, started out of my garage business.
Literally,
and they're kind of. Literally, yes. They were, they wanted to prove to themselves that they could create a business and make it successful. And so what they did is they bought, I don't remember what it was, if it was socks or underwear or something, and they listed on eBay to see if they could sell it, and it sold right away. And they couldn't believe it. And so they kind of started challenging themselves, and they were like, well, if we list 100 items, how many might sell each week? And they did that. And then from there on, they got up to about 10,000 items that they had listed, and things were just selling like crazy. So from there, they have all this product and stock that they have listed online that they need to store somewhere. And so in buying or renting a larger warehouse, it happened to come with a retail location. And that's kind of where Moondoggies came from, is they had that retail location. Like, well, let's open a brick and mortar storefront. And now you have it.
Yeah. Which is so cool to start with online and kind of slow grow and figure out, and then get to the point where it makes sense to start. And you guys have been in Canby and have been at this location in Canby for about a couple of years now, right?
Yes, almost exactly 2 years. I believe we did like a soft opening right during the holidays of 2019.
Yeah.
So, and then officially opened, I believe, in January.
I think I remember that as well. So going strong, what do you think you attribute to the store's success?
So definitely Canby. So the location, If, you know, like, I'm sorry, one second.
No, okay.
So, you know, we're not quite sure what it is about Cambi, but there's like something in the air, or maybe the water, haha. But we've had the support since like the day we opened in Cambi. It's been amazing. And, you know, we've kind of talked every now and then about like different cities and where they could have opened up and if we'd had that same support backing us. And really, we're not quite sure, but it's like, it's just a weird connection that we feel with the city of Cambi and the people who live here and all of our regulars that are coming in every couple days. There's, you know, we have those certain people that come every Saturday morning, and it's just, it's been amazing being here in Cambi.
Yeah. Cambi people, yeah, for sure. Love to support local, love to give to businesses, to give back, right, to the community and to local nonprofits and things. Also, I think Cambi people are pretty thrifty, right? Is one thing I've noticed. They're always, a lot of times, looking for a good deal and something that they can get at a good price. Yeah, and you guys offer that. So.
We do. Yeah. And one thing that we love about Cambi is people aren't afraid to speak up if they feel they've seen one of our products somewhere else for cheaper. And that's something that we're big on. Like, if you do see that, we want to be told, because we put all this time and research into everything we put out on our floor. And, you know, if we miss something somewhere, we want to know so that we can adjust our prices, or, you know, let you know maybe the difference in the product you've seen based off what we have. And so that's like a big thing we've told people that have come in, like, please just let us know, because we want to make sure we're providing the best possible deals for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys opened pretty much right before, like, good timing, right? Pretty much right before the pandemic hit. Which was obviously a huge impact to retail stores such as yourself, you know, in-person shopping. You had the online thing to fall back on, I hope, or at least that had been in your wheelhouse. But I'm curious, and it might be kind of similar to the previous question I asked you, but what do you think has been key to helping you guys survive that difficult time and recover in the wake of it?
Well, this one's kind of easy because it was somewhat mandated for us. You know, while many businesses were forced to close for a certain period, like, we were able to kind of adjust our inventory and what we brought in and just make sure that we had what people needed. So when there was a toilet paper shortage, we made sure we were stocked up on toilet paper and disinfectants and sanitizers, cleaners. Like, we were trying to get all of that stuff in so that we could have that available for, you know, not just our locals, but anyone who was able to come to town and shop at our store.
Interesting. So, wow.
Yeah.
That stuff was pretty hard to find.
it was like early days when we get a shipment in, and we're like, we have toilet paper. And then, you know, my parents were really big on making sure that it was the quality toilet paper.
Right.
You know, like the good stuff, not the really thin stuff that's going to fall apart.
Right.
Right away.
Oh, that's so amazing. Yeah. Well, that's really cool. That had to, I mean, obviously challenging and crazy like everybody, but must have been rewarding to be able to kind of meet people in that place of need and help folks find something they couldn't find anywhere else. The necessary things, right?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. It was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Well, so we now come to my last question, Whitney. It's one of my favorites. This one's kind of interesting because you can kind of speak for yourself or, you know, throw your parents under the bus if you want. But the question is, if you could tell us something that we may not know about you or your parents, but it could be, you know, a fun hobby that you guys do or that they do, an achievement or accomplishment, maybe an unusual job you've had in the past. Is there anything you'd tell us?
We are so boring. There's probably nothing like super exciting about us. But you know, one thing is we're a family business, and while you know we are very private, but we also credit the fact that our business remains open and solid over the past 2 years to our friends and neighbors here in Cambi. So one thing my dad wanted me to share was two traits in which our family's always tried to live by. The first comes to our beliefs surrounding truth, politics, and business. And while not ours alone, we've strongly adopted it as ours. And it's this, it's, you see, there are two kinds of truths, the kinds that come from darkness and get spent and manipulated for someone's self-interest, and the kind you carry inside and know it's real. The second is what we can do in our mind and actions to change lives. And that's to make an attempt every day to make the world a better place for at least one other person. So one day you might be like a gladiator to one in despair, and another day you might find yourself slaying dragons, which are causing someone to suffer needlessly. So we always try to simply be good people and, objectively good people, where no one can call your actions into question.
Wow. That is so deep and so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a bit of a letdown then from those sentiment, but I did just want to give you a chance as a follow-on to that question to explain what people might not know is where Moondog is the name comes from.
Oh my gosh, I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. It's a movie that my dad watched when he was younger.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? You should know. Didn't we?
I know. I'm gonna look it up. I thought you would know. It was like one of those classic Beach Boy.
Oh my gosh! And you put me on the spot, and I should know it off the top of my head.
Gidget.
Yes.
It's from the movie Gidget in 1959. That's
right.
So
yeah, that's way before my time.
Listeners screaming at us right now.
I know. My dad's going to be so mad at me.
Yeah. So Moondoggy was the love interest, the surfer boy of Gidget. So,
yes.
Whitney, thank you so much for taking time out. Of course. Hope I didn't get you into too much trouble with your dad for putting up the spot there. We'll see. Maybe we'll have to edit that part out. But again, thank you, and have a great rest of your holiday season.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Camby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Camby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Camby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Camby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Camby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net. Now Hear This Camby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Camby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Camby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Camby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.